The Lord be with you.
With you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. When the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into boats and came to Capernaum, looking for Jesus. And when they found him across the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him the Father, God, has set his seal." So they said to him, "What can we do to accomplish the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on the one he sent." So they said to him, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. Dear family, remember that we are receiving a teaching from the Lord that continues from last Sunday, when we heard the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves and the fish. That was like the first stage. In steps, the Lord is bringing us deeper and deeper to realize who he is, and so that we realize who we are. You see, the tragedy of humanity because of sin is that we lost awareness, the consciousness of who God is, and therefore we don't know who we are. Really, the problem in our relationship with the Lord is that we expect too little. Not that we expect too much. The Lord wants to give us a share in his divinity. He wants to make us eternal with him, to share life and love forever. What are we fighting for? What are we struggling for? Of course, Jesus knows that we need to eat every day the food that fills our stomach. And in his infinite goodness, he provides for that every day. But remember now, the bread is a sign that is pointing to something much greater. You see, when these people came, they were looking for Jesus. And Jesus says to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, you are looking for me not because you saw the sign, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." So Jesus is desiring that they see the sign and not just the bread. That they see the sign. What does that mean? Well, suppose you are driving to New York. Along the road, you begin to see signs that say, "New York, 100 miles. What does that mean? It's an indication of where to go, showing you that you're approaching. The sign is not New York. The sign is pointing you towards it. It's an anticipation of the reality. That's a sign. You don't stay there, say, "Oh, we arrived," and park and stay by the sign, do you? You know that it's supposed to be driving you towards your goal. That's what Jesus is saying. You are confused. You are now just worrying about me giving you more bread because, you know, you were satisfied with your stomach. But I'm trying to show you something much deeper. And then he starts speaking about the bread that came down from heaven. This bread in whom the Father has put his sign, his seal. And then Jesus says, it's not Moses who gave you the bread in the desert. It is the Father. And I say now to you, it's not the priest who gives you the Eucharist. It is the Father who loves us so much that gives us his own Son in the sign of bread. The priest is a humble little creature, instrument through whom God acts. But it is the Father who gives us the Eucharist. And Jesus today wants us to come to realize this. Jesus also said, "I am the door," remember? So through Jesus, as we enter into Jesus, as we enter into the Eucharist, we enter in communion with the Father. The Father and I are one, Jesus says. So, in Jesus, through Jesus, with Jesus, we enter into God. We enter into the dynamic love of the Trinity, where the Father, from all eternity, is loving the Son, giving himself so completely to the Son. And the Son gives himself to the Father in love completely. And this love, this communion of love is so perfect. It is the Holy Spirit. And remember when Jesus was baptized in the Jordan, the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am pleased." That pleasure of the Father is the Holy Spirit. And now God wants to bestow the same Spirit upon us. The Father looks at the Son and looks at the love, the oblation of the Son, and is pleased in this love. And the Father wants now to be pleased with each one of us. He wants us to be sons and daughters. And that's why Jesus came. So that we all enter into him, partake of his life, become truly one with him. And we offer our very lives to the Father through Christ. And the Father is pleased with this. The Father is not happy for the suffering and the gore and the blood as if he took pleasure in suffering. No. You know, in those times they used to have this alabaster flasks where the perfume was contained. In order for the perfume to come out, you had to break the alabaster jar. And then the perfume will come out. That's what happened with Jesus. As Jesus is broken on the cross, the perfume of his infinite love raises up to the Father. That is what pleases the Father, is the love, the oblation. This is what happens also, you know, with heroes. If in a beautiful marriage there is a crisis situation and the father, the husband, to protect the wife and the children, dies to defend them, for example, of course the wife experiences a great sorrow for his death, but she is so moved by his oblation, isn't it? That is what is beautiful. That is what fills the heart, is the love. That's why we have hero soldiers, hero firemen and women, and hero husbands and hero wives. That is what is to be a hero. It is to become like Christ, giving ourselves for love for others, fulfilling our true vocation, which is love, even by allowing ourselves to be broken. This is our dignity. If we try to preserve ourselves, not to suffer, not to have troubles, then we will never be fulfilled. We will never come into the fullness of life. And so, as we come to the Mass, we need to understand that Jesus is not just present statically as an object, just sitting there, but rather there is an event taking place. We coming to the sacrifice of God as Jesus offers himself, oblates himself in total surrender, totus tuus, to the Father, and the Father receives this gift of the death of his Son by this powerful gift of life that resurrects Jesus from the dead. This is the Paschal mystery. The Son gives himself to death, and the Father, in infinite love, raises his Son from death, brings him back to life. And what are we doing here? Are we just watching? No. We are here to enter into this event of love. This event of love that is eternal, that is from all time going on, but now has become present here to us visibly because Jesus has incarnated, has become flesh and bones, has become one of us. So the Eucharist, we can say, is like a prolongation of the incarnation, so that we can partake of the passion of the Lord by giving ourselves also totus tuus, completely to the Father, and we can now have a new life. That's why St. Paul tells us in the second reading that we should no longer live in the old way of life, corrupted through deceitful desires, but we should renew the spirit of our minds and put on the new self, created in God's way, in righteousness and holiness of truth. How is this going to happen? By entering into the Son, by entering into Christ, by not being afraid any longer of suffering, of giving ourselves in love. You see, the people, it's amazing, right? They had very short memory. They're asking Jesus, what sign are you going to give us? Hello. Just yesterday, he multiplied the bread and they were there. They were witnesses. Why are they asking again? This is a revelation, brothers and sisters, of a very ingrained sin in human nature, part of the fall, that we have to get rid of. And what is it? Is the idea that we are going to tell God the miracles he needs to make. In other words, we want to put God in our box. Instead of understanding that we are the ones that need to open up and let Him lead us, we got to roll backwards, you see? And the Lord wants to minister now to us and invite us to trust, to surrender, to recognize how He is already working with us and not expect Him to do signs according to our own expectations. You see, these people now ask, what works do we have to do? We always do that. We want to do something for God to feel we have done something. You know, we get Him out of the way. It's like taxes, you know. You do your taxes and you hope the government gets off from your case and leaves you alone so that you can live. That's okay with the government, but not with Jesus, right? We don't want to do something for Jesus, so I've been a good boy, I've done what I have to do, now I go on with my life. What Jesus is saying is, believe in me. What does the Father want? He says, that you believe in me. This is the work of God. In other words, that you believe and enter into Him and just become one with Him. So it's no longer your time, your opinions, your expectations, but now you're one with Christ and Christ is flowing through you. The Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and we are a new creation. Do you see the practical consequences of this, for example, in marriage? In marriage, the husband and the wife are not just doing something for each other to appease each other and go their ways. They are totus tuus to each other. Honey, my life is all yours. And honey, my life is all yours. We belong to one another and we live in constant oblation of love to each other. We don't count the cost. We're not expecting a reward. It's a constant giving because of love. But that can only be maintained if we ourselves are in this continuous flow of grace and life from God. And that's why we need to enter into the Eucharist. Jesus then becomes very explicit to them and says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. And whoever believes in me will never thirst. You may be going through sufferings, through difficult times, through great sorrows, but through it all, to know and to live in Christ makes the whole difference. You got it all if you have the Lord. And through the sufferings and travails of life, we are full of joy and purpose. We have what we really desire, what our soul hungers for. We are one with Christ.